Hello and welcome to Peresweet Baking, a place where we talk to some of the best bakers in the industry and share real behind the scenes of running a successful baking business. I'm your host, Monica Kannan, and I'm super excited to introduce today's guest. But before that, if you find this episode useful or have any feedback, take a screenshot and tag me on Insta stories at The Jugaad Baker. Today's guest is an extremely talented baker who was literally one of the very few people to start baking custom cakes, especially in Chennai. She finished her engineering degree and had started working at a corporate job when she decided to attend a baking workshop just for the fun of it. But very soon after, she quit her job, flew to Le Cordon Bleu, trained to become a pastry chef, and is one of the most sought-after bakers today. On today's show, we have with us Karthika Shravanti of Bakeman Begins. Hello, Karthika, and thank you so much for being on my podcast today.
Hi, Monica. Thank you so much for the lovely introduction.
So before we begin, I have to ask you this one thing. So you're an amazing baker and you're one of the most respected teachers as well. And there are a lot of people who look up to you. How does this make you feel?
It makes me feel very happy, obviously. And it always pushes me to do my best because, you need to set a, being a one of the senior persons in the industry, I need to always set a good benchmark for others to live up to. So, yeah, that pushes me to give my best every single time.
Okay. And you are doing an amazing job. You're setting the benchmark.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Monica.
Okay. So let's rewind a little and, go back to like one baking class that you took that made you change your entire career.
Yes. Like, yeah.
What was it about that class or what happened then that it made you change your entire career? You didn't really have much of an interest in baking. I mean, or exposure to baking beforehand, but then, you just change your entire career. What was it?
So I am basically a foodie. I love to eat and I'm naturally a sweet tooth. So I used to hang around in the kitchen a lot, but not to the baking side. But then when I was in class 11th, I had this friend from school who was into baking already at that time. She was baking cakes. She used to make these iced cakes, layered cakes and stuff like that. And I used to be extremely fascinated about what she does. I used to open up her pictures and show it to my parents, my friends. You know, I used to look up to her like that. And the opportunity never came for me to take up a class when I was in Chennai. And when I was working in Bangalore, I had free weekends and I thought, okay, let me take up a baking class because I was just idle at during the weekends. So I just looked up for a nearby baking class and I went to Mrs. Marina Charles. She's my first teacher and we did like a class together. And I remember the class costed me like $1,000. But till date, I would say that's the most important investment I've ever done on myself, Sometimes I just believe your, spirit guides are around you, push to do something, to make some decision around you. And that just turns your life around.
You were going to Le Cordon Bleu when you were on the flight to London. What was going on through your mind?
Okay, Monica, when I was flying to London, that was the very first time I was traveling internationally and I was also traveling alone for the first time. So that journey for me was pure excitement and, mixed with a little bit of fear and anxiety as to what will happen. And, as a new girl in town, how will life be in UK and stuff like that. There were different emotions running in my mind. But majorly, it was just excitement and was very looking forward to do the course there.
Okay. Wow. That's like the perfect way to start something.
Yeah.
Okay. So before this, you did your engineering at SSN and you were one of the toppers there as well. So, you were one of the toppers like in your school, in your college. And when you went to LCB, was it like, very different or difficult to catch up or like, did you just ace it there as well?
I was not a topper in LCB, but I tried my best as, I always do in whatever I do. I found my calling over there and I found what I was really good at because we get to learn a lot of things in patisserie itself. So we have like chocolate, bread, sugar work, we have restaurant plated desserts, we have, so many things that comes in a promo. And you get to decide what you really like and then pursue that from there on. So the course helped me do that. And obviously, I tried my best. I was not a bad student. I was the best student as well. But I was kind of like an average student in LCB. But coming back, that was when I started working on my skills, practicing. And then I caught up.
So when you were in London, is there any, you know, specific, like the fondest memory that you have?
In LCB?
Yes, LCB or London, you know, both of them.
Okay. There are amazing memories that I made in London. I had like really good friends and roommates over there. So we traveled to a lot of places around UK. So that's one of the off-school memories that I had, traveling around and having fun. School-wise, I remember this time when we had a cake decorating class. We don't have many of cake decorating classes in LCB because this course was mostly French patisserie oriented. It was more of, you know, less of decorating and more of cooking. But we did have one or two classes on cake decorating. And at that time, I had already started decorating my cakes and making flowers and stuff like that. And when we had the opportunity to showcase our skills on the cake, I did a very beautiful white cake with a beautiful gum paste dahlia flower, which the head chef was really impressed with. And she tried to take pictures of that and put it on her, you know, on the profile of the school and stuff like that. So that was a really proud moment for me. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So once you came back from LCB, you were working at ITC for a while, right?
Yes.
So how was that experience?
Working at ITC is one of the greatest experiences again I had. It is a, hotel industry is a little, it's a difficult industry for especially women. You have to stand for hours together and the work will be strenuous and there is, people don't see you as a female chef and, you know, things like that, which is fair because once you get into the industry, you have to do what has to be done and there's no different set of rules for a woman and a man. So that kind of is really hard on your body. It's really, it takes your energy. But it also taught a lot of stuff and how you can, one can easily make the transition from a home chef to a professional chef. So I picked up a lot of techniques, a lot of ways how to run a professional kitchen because I worked in a professional kitchen like in ITC. And it's definitely helped me till today how to run a kitchen smoothly. You know, during festives, we have like huge number of volume of orders. And those kind of times has really helped me how to run it professionally, organized and keep it, you know, really professional.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was when you were at ITC that you also started Bakeman Begins as a side venture.
Bakeman Begins had started before I went to ITC itself. I'm sorry, I went to LCB itself. After I took a couple of classes in Bangalore, that's when I used to travel from Bangalore to Chennai during the weekends and do some baking for my friends and family and stuff like that. It was then when Bakeman Begins started and I, you know, started expanding my menu, trying out new things and stuff like that. And only then I applied to LCB. And then from there on, I just, you know, kept Bakeman Begins a little bit dormant when I was in school. And during ITC, I was running Bakeman Begins and I was working at ITC at the same time. So I remember I had a shift from 8 o'clock to 6 o'clock in ITC at ITC. And I used to come back home and I used to start baking for Bakeman Begins from 8 o'clock to at least like 2 or 3 in the night to finish off my orders. So this is how my 1 year at ITC was going on. I was just juggling both Bakeman Begins and working at ITC.
Wow, I can't even imagine the amount of dedication that, you know, you've put in.
Yeah.
So when you came back from LCB, everything would have been very different here, right? From the equipment to the produce. And even the climate is very different here. It's more humid, which is slightly more difficult to make some of the more finicky pastries. But how did you overcome all of this when you were starting out?
Okay, so basically, the equipment isn't very different. I mean, we have the stand mixers and the ovens that do the same things. But of course, the weather of weather in London and here is completely different. And one had to make a lot of trials and errors in the recipe to, you know, come up with a recipe that works for our weather and for our ingredients. This is where my experience of working in ITC helped me a lot, because ITC was doing pretty much similar stuff, because there was we had a French head pastry chef, and we did do a lot of French pastry, but with the available ingredients in India. So I got to learn a lot on how to use local ingredients, but applying French techniques. And that's one of the major things that I learned in ITC, how to make use of local ingredients to, you know, apply the same techniques that I've learned here. And that is what I've been doing till today.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. That is, you know, one of the toughest things to overcome. And that done is. That.
Thanks.
Okay. So being one of the very first few people to start custom cakes in Chennai, especially here, like, okay, you know, how was it initially talking to clients and, you know, convincing them to order custom cakes instead of the normal cakes that they'd been ordering before?
Okay, so when I started out doing custom cakes, there were very few people who used to do custom cakes at that time, which gave me an edge, because people wanted to try something new and they were willing and open to buying custom cakes. So fortunately, I didn't have to go through the phase where I have to convince the client to try stuff. Of course, I used to suggest them, but I didn't have to like really push it on them, because what I was doing was, like, you know, it was different from what it already is. And people were, luckily for me, were open to trying out new things.
Okay, great. And right now, you know, apart from just cakes, you make a lot of entremets and different dishes, like the Middle Eastern package that you were making
a
few months ago.
Yeah.
So how open do you think the audience in Chennai are to trying new things?
They are really open. I was really surprised to see people being really open to trying new things. This is something that's taken me by surprise, because we always think that people would like, you know, only the regular stuff. They want to play it safe and stuff like that. But the pastry scenario is constantly changing in the world, and luckily for us, Chennai people are also like really open-minded. They want to try what's new and stuff like that, so it's never been a problem for us or any of the bakers here to convince the people to try new things. So when I did the Middle Eastern box, I had a great response, and so does any other new things. I think it really moves well. We have a lot of sweet tooth in the city. We have a lot of food bloggers and food reviewers. So with the help of people like that, we're able to like spread the word that there's something new here, and the word really spreads quick and easily.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And one more thing that you do is you keep, you know, upskilling yourself very frequently. You keep attending workshops and competitions and assets. So how do you keep ahead in your industry? You know, how do you decide which workshop to attend, which competition to attend? How do you keep informed about that also?
Okay, so we are constantly being updated by, you know, there are few organizations and people who host international tutors, or even Indian tutors who are really talented. They host them for workshops here, and we do get regular information on that, because, you know, social media keeps us together. And upskilling is really, really important, not just for this industry, for any industry, because things change rapidly over time, and you need to be on top of your skill level to keep up with the upcoming trends. So what I do is I really am very clear at what exactly I'm good at and what I'm going to make use of to run my business. So that's one of my main motivations. So I have to learn something for me to learn something, first thing, I'll have to like it and I'll have to love what I do. And secondly, it must be able to bring me some kind of revenue to my business that I'm running. So for me, it doesn't make sense if I'm learning, you know, for instance, a buttercream sculpting class, because I'm not much into buttercream sculpting. Whereas if I do something around pastries or entremets, or somebody's coming who's doing macarons and, you know, advanced techniques like that, then I would be interested, because first thing, I love it. And secondly, it's going to give me revenue because I'm going to make them and sell them later on. So that's how I choose my what courses I'm going to go to upskill my stuff.
Okay, that's like a really great answer.
Thanks.
So how do you find these workshops? Like, how do you keep knowing which workshop is going to happen when?
We see, as we are all in Instagram, we keep following each other's works. So we do follow people and organizations who host tutors, chefs who come into India to do it. So we do get regular updates on who's gonna come, who's gonna take this class and stuff like that. So, and also the word spreads really quickly, because we're all, some bakers are all connected over WhatsApp and other Facebook groups. So I mean, it's not very difficult to get to know who's coming in. So it does keep everyone informed, the connectivity.
Okay. So the topic of teaching, you also teach your own workshops, right? Baking workshops.
Yes. Yeah.
And I must say, the feedback from your classes is like amazing. I've heard like such good feedback. Like, you know, Kartika is an amazing teacher. She's so patient and she teaches so well.
Thank you.
Yeah. So at what point did you get the confidence to start teaching other people?
It was a very reluctant step because, when you're stepping out of your comfort zone, you're very reluctant and you don't know how it's going to be responded to and how well it's going to be received, what feedback you will get and stuff like that. But great things come when you step out of your comfort zone. So I started doing I started with basic baking classes. When you're like really confident about something, that's when you start, and you've done all kinds of blunders, so you know how to fix them. That's when you start taking a class for it. So I started with basic baking class back in, I think, 2016, if I'm not wrong. It was just a small batch of 4 people, and I was just teaching them basic baking, basic sponges and how to frost the cake and stuff like that. And then from then on, as I got good at teaching the basic baking class, then I started exploring teaching more techniques, and, you know, I would like want to sit down, write down what syllabus I want to teach, in what order should I take the flow of the class, how to get the students' attention with you throughout the class, and also give maximum value as much as possible in the hours that you're spending with the students. So these are some things that I would sit and write down for various topics. So as I kept as I kept doing orders, you do touch upon a lot of skills, because you do orders and different people have different requirement, and you will learn a lot of things on the way, and you keep practicing a lot of things on the way. That's how I started adding all my classes to my kit. So once I started doing a lot of icing, then I add icing because I'm confident about what can go wrong, how to fix things and how to do the icing properly. Then I would add that class to my, course. So something like this. So this is how I start building the courses or the classes to my courses that I offer.
Okay. Wow. That's very detailed and a lot of effort from your side.
Yeah.
Okay. So apart from this, you also have your own cake supply shop. So
yes.
Was that always part of the plan, or was that something that popped out, or how did that happen?
Okay. So here's the thing. When I was applying for Le Cordon Bleu, I was asked to write a statement of purpose, like how people do write a statement of purpose when you're going to do masters. So that in that statement of purpose, you're supposed to write a page of why you're interested in pastry, what brings you here, and why you want to do a course in LCB. And why should we give you admission? Like, you need to convince them to give you an admit. So in that, I just opened it today because of this question that you'd sent me. I just opened my old SOP that was lying in my email ID. I opened it and I saw in the last paragraph I had mentioned, I'm really passionate about desserts and I want to give the highest quality of desserts that I can offer in my city. And also I want to have a store, because at that time we didn't have a lot of a supply of a lot of things, and we used to go really far places to source material when I started out. Right now the things are much but better, and everything is almost like sourceable in and around the city, or if not online. But it was not the case when I started out. So I wrote that since it's so difficult to source out materials, I'm going to have a store wherein I'm going to source these kind of materials which are hard to source for other, to benefit other bakers. And also have an academy or kind of like a course to impart quality pastry education in India. So this is my last paragraph. I just read it today. And I think this thought was always there in my head to have like a store where I can sell products, and in that way I can also keep in touch with other bakers who come to my store, meet them, and like have like a community like that. So this was always there in my mind. It was not like a plan that suddenly popped up, but so luckily when it was getting difficult for me to do all the cake orders from my home, and we decided to move out to another space, rent out a commercial space and have it, that's exactly when I got a proposal from a very famous brand to take a franchisee to sell these kind of baking products. And that was just a very, just the right things happened at the right time for me, and I took up the franchisee. There were good things and bad things about taking a franchisee, but then in the end, I really learned how to run a store and how to, various aspects of running a store and keeping stock and stuff like that. A lot of things are there. So that's something happened coincidentally and by God's grace.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. So at what point right now would you be able to say that, okay, fine, I've achieved all my milestones? Like, what would you say your ultimate goal is?
So the thing is, my ultimate, like when I started out, I used to think that this is my ultimate goal, whatever I'm doing right now. But I think I'm a very contented person. I don't have like too many ambitions. Whatever I'm doing, I want to do it right. And above everything, I want my freedom and my peace of mind. This is my two most important things in life. So just because of that, I don't prefer opening a pastry shop or opening up an academy, because that involves a lot of commitment and promises to keep, and also gives you a lot of financial burdens, and the big baggages that come with opening new stuff. So outside, you only look at the fancy part of Osh's got a patisserie here in the city. But behind the scenes, there are a lot of things, struggles that, one goes through to sustain a business like that. Especially like, say, for instance, in scenarios like in this COVID situation, there are a lot of restaurants which are almost in the verge of closing because they're not able to cope up with the overheads that they have and pay whatever employees they have. So all these kind of things. Yeah. So this was always there in my mind, and I was never ambitious of opening a store or anything like that. My ultimate goal was I should have enough freedom and time for my personal life and also pursue my passion. So I would like to work in my small commercial space, do the best that I can, make as much money as possible, retire early, and live somewhere close to the nature. So that's my ultimate.
What is one thing that you've learned from your previous profession that's helped you now? Like previous profession in the sense when you were working after engineering.
I've learned how to be grateful that you get to do something that you really like. That is one thing that I really like, because not everybody gets to do what they really like to do. And yeah, some more things that I've learned along the way of working is how to maintain a good rapport with everyone. You may not like everyone that you meet, but it's always good to maintain a good rapport, because you never know who will help you at what time. So this is something that I've learned, and also the general things like keeping organized and having a team meeting, treating your team as family, and going out for a team outing once in a while. These are corporate things, but I also apply them to my team in the kitchen, because they're all like my family, and these are something I'm working in an IT industry.
That's very nice. You've taken the best parts of an IT industry and
That's right.
Okay. So with this, we move on to the final segment of the podcast, which is a rapid fire. Okay. So I'm going to ask you five questions and you can answer very quickly the first thing that comes to your mind. So who is one pastry chef or baker that you look up to?
I would say Rumana Jazil from Incredible Arts.
Okay. And what is one dessert that you could eat for the rest of your life?
Tiramisu.
Nice answer. What is the toughest thing in your job?
Toughest thing is you, it's a lot of physical work. That's the toughest thing.
Okay. And would you bake your own birthday cake or would you order it?
I will order it, definitely order it.
Okay. And what is one question that you always get asked but you hate it?
Is this the final price?
Okay. Okay, so that's the end of the session, and it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and I've learned so much, and it's also been so much fun. So, thank you so much for agreeing to
Thank
this.
you. Thank you so much, Monica. I also had fun doing this.